Live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza, this is the third hour of Today.
And good morning. Welcome to the third hour of Today. I'm Al, along with Craig and Dylan. Chanel's strained her voice after that big party she had for Uche.
So, 21st of September.
That's right. Final day of summer. It comes tomorrow, 3:40. That's right.
Tomorrow's Wednesday. I'm thinking today's Monday.
I didn't realize until last hour when you told me that Earth, Wind & Fire had been around for 51 years.
That's right. They missed their 50th year tour because of COVID last year.
Wow.
Yeah, they are amazing.
All right, so on this 21st of September, we got a big show lined up for you, including an artist on the rise, and his studio is the subway. And his surprise portraits of strangers have turned him into quite the social media star. We're going to find out how he came up with the idea and whether he ever gets funny looks from people on the train.
Amazing. It wasn't him, but somebody actually did that of me on the subway once and handed me a drawing.
It was weird because they weren't professional.
That's right. And then you started dating Brian, and there you go.
And that's the story of how we met.
Very nice.
Your origin story.
Then in our latest edition of Cooking with Cal, we are sharing an old family favorite that Calvin's great-great-grandmother used to make, and now my kids are loving it, too.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we're also going to kick off our Today Climate Initiative with a really fascinating look at how we actually all contribute to air pollution. And, I mean, but just by putting perfume or deodorant
on. I can see it. The amount of hairspray I put on this morning.
Hairspray, something I'm not worried about. But I got the chance to take a ride in a state-of-the-art lab on wheels. It looks like your typical work van from the outside, but wait till you see what this thing does.
Man, okay.
Awesome. All right, but we do begin for a second day in a row with some breaking COVID vaccine news. Just this morning, Johnson & Johnson released some new data about a new booster shot for people who received their single-dose vaccine.
Johnson & Johnson says in its trials, a second dose given 2 months later proved to be 94% effective at preventing moderate to severe COVID symptoms. About 15 million Americans received that J&J vaccine.
So here to help us understand what this could mean, former CDC director, now president and chief executive of Resolve to Save Lives, Dr. Tom Frieden, joining us exclusively. Dr. Frieden, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so we'd like to start with the Johnson & Johnson news today. Friday, you tweeted that we need to consider an mRNA dose for those who initially received that vaccine. So do you think that's still the case, or just would they need another booster dose of Johnson & Johnson based off this new data?
It's a great question, and it really illustrates how quickly scientific knowledge is changing, even now, more than 18 months into the pandemic. The data that was released this morning is really encouraging. It shows two things. First, that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine holds up its protection, which is very good protection for at least 6 months, even against Delta. And second, that if you get a second dose, you're going to likely be even better protected. And so the two doses of J&J is probably the way to go if you got J&J before, but we'll have to wait to see what the FDA and CDC advisory committees say. Interestingly, that second dose seemed to be much more effective 6 months after the first dose than 2 months after. And we're seeing that with some of the vaccines, that the longer the interval or the delay between the two vaccine doses, the stronger the reaction becomes.
Dr. Frieden, you have an op-ed in the New York Times this morning, and you're talking about this unified approach to vaccine verification. I mean, in some states, we have a digital version of the vaccination card, or else we just have it, you know, this flimsy card in our wallets. But why do you think we need some sort of unified approach?
Big picture, we're going to be living with COVID for a long time, and vaccination mandates are going to spread. They're going to become more common. Now, if you're mandating vaccine, you have to figure out a way to see if someone's been vaccinated. Right now, the paper cards are, frankly, too easy to falsify, too easy to lose, too hard to check accurately in real time. It's possible to have a system that's fair, secure, accurate, opt-out. So if you don't want it, you don't have to be on it, but is acceptable to international travel, acceptable to businesses, efficient. But standards are needed for that. Otherwise, it's kind of like the Wild West out there. Different states, different businesses, different companies, different countries have their own systems. They may be inaccurate. They may release your data without your knowledge, and they may not be efficient. So fundamentally, it's important that the federal government issue standards for guidelines for anyone who wants to create a vaccine verification system, like the New York State Excelsior Pass, that says it has to be secure, accurate, fair.
Dr. Frieden, let's play devil's advocate for a second here. As you know, a lot of folks rightfully concerned about
personal information, personal health information specifically. How could such a wide-scale approach protect privacy while being accurate and practical?
Actually, it increases the security. What's happening now is not safe. What's happening now is different organizations, different companies, different states have systems. Some are more secure, some are less secure. What I'm recommending is that the federal government say, if you do this kind of a system, you have to jump this high. You have to make sure that people can't breach it. You have to make sure that it's only used for COVID data. You have to make sure that people opt out. So if they don't want to be in it, they don't have to be in it. You have to make sure that it's your data isn't sold. These are standards that the federal government can set without creating its own system. It can set standards to say companies, states need to do this so that people can have confidence that their information is not going to be sold, not going to be abused, not going to be shared without their consent.
Dr. Frieden, look, there's been a lot of criticism over this mixed messaging about the booster shots, when they'd be available, do we need them? It seems like policy is getting ahead of the science, and that adds to the confusion and perhaps hesitancy. Mm-hmm.
One of the realities is that we're learning more every day, and the more we learn, the better we can protect people. With vaccines, it's clear that they're extremely effective and extremely safe. Vaccines have already saved over 100,000 lives in this country. And the biggest problem we have right now isn't whether and when and to whom to give boosters, but that we still have 80 million people who haven't gotten a first COVID shot. We need to reach the unvaccinated by reaching out to different communities, making very clear that these vaccines are our way to survive this pandemic, to thrive despite the pandemic, to get much of our former lives back despite the continued spread of COVID. So get vaccinated.
All right, Dr. Tom Frieden, thank you so much.
Let's take a turn now to a case that's really making headlines around the world. The FBI believes that they have found the body of Gabby Petito. That's the 22-year-old girl who went missing while traveling in Wyoming with her fiancé. The fiancé is being called a person of interest. Problem is, at this point, investigators have no idea where he is. And they add that he hasn't been seen in a week. NBC's Katie Beck is in Northport, Florida. She's been following this story from the beginning. So, Katie, now this is a cross-country investigation. What do we expect to learn today? And what are police saying about this search for Gabby's fiancé?
Well, we do know the autopsy is scheduled for today, Craig, and we should have some answers in terms of confirming the identity of that body and also the cause of death. Those are big pieces in this puzzle. In terms of searching for Brian Laundrie, that chapter has also developed in just the half hour before this. Investigators put out a release saying they are going to be going back to that vast reserve where his parents said he went hiking last Tuesday and they haven't seen him since. Investigators were searching there over the weekend. This is a very dense, thickly brushed area where investigators have to use ATVs, canine units, aerial units to try and get eyes on it. It's a difficult terrain out there, especially as hot as it is here, bugs and mud and everything else. They're going to be heading back out there for a full day of searching today, again, looking for Laundrie. His whereabouts have become sort of a central piece in this investigation right now.
And Katie, it seems like social media has helped this case more than anything else. I mean, the guy who was editing some of his own video happened to see the van where they were able to find her body. I mean, what is that? What role is that playing in the case here to have social media involved?
Yeah, there's a huge fascination out there, and especially with these digital detectives who are watching every update, tracking every court document. Every time we go on air, you get a lot of tweets from them asking questions. Did you check this? Did you review that? I think from a detective standpoint that are actually working this case, they probably appreciate the eyes and ears. They appreciate that interest. Also, though, it does create a lot of sort of theories, some of which are not true. We were hearing yesterday that there were sightings of him in Mobile, Alabama. We confirmed with investigators that those were unverified and untrue. So it sometimes does take an extra layer of confirmation, but I do think overall that digital detective world is certainly putting things out there on social media that we didn't have access to before and certainly helping investigators do their job overall, I think.
So, Katie, are we hearing from the Petito or Laundrie families?
So we do expect to hear from the Petito family in New York this afternoon. They have scheduled a press conference for this afternoon. I expect that they think they will have some results from that autopsy to share or react to and talk about next steps. The Laundrie family attorney had said that they were going to speak today and then overnight canceled that press conference, saying that he had spoken to the FBI and decided to go in another direction. We do know that Brian Laundrie has not spoken with investigators, and from Gabby Petito's father tells us he has not spoken to anyone in the Petito family as well. In an interview with Dateline's Andrea Canning, here's what he had to say about that.
There is no way that you come home on a trip with the love of your life, you've been in a van for 2 months, and you tell no one. You don't answer phone calls. Your parents don't answer calls. No one says nothing.
So again, investigators are going to be heading out there to that reserve, resuming the search there. We do know from search warrant affidavits that they were able to obtain one piece of evidence, an external hard drive from inside that white van that the couple was driving. What is on that hard drive, we don't know at this point, but it could prove valuable information to track where they were at what point in time. Guys.
Katie Beck Force there in Northport, Florida. Katie, thank you.
Alrighty, well, when we come back, an eye-opening look at the ways we're all contributing to air pollution without even realizing it. I went for a high-tech ride on a lab on wheels, and wait till you see what we found out. And then later, you might call him an underground artist on the move. Meet the social media star whose subway sketches have earned him millions of followers as the third hour of today continues.
These are some stunning images we wanted to show you of the harvest moon. It occurs every year around this time. It's the full moon that falls closest to the autumnal equinox, obviously. All the moons have their name. This one gets its name as a nod to farmers harvesting their last crops from the summer season.
It's beautiful.
By the way, that Laurel and Hardy from the movie Sons of the Desert.
And oh, you actually know what movie it's
from. Of course he does. We were not alive.
If you Google it, there is a wonderful song and dance between Stan and Ollie.
He sent the clip.
I did.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, yeah. He plays DJ here as well, in addition to forecasting.
All right. Well, listen, when we see images like that, it really makes us appreciate our planet. And this morning, we're launching our new Today Climate Initiative. We're going to bring you in-depth stories about the challenges we face and the strategies to help solve this crisis, beginning with an eye-opening look at air pollution and how we're all contributing without even realizing it. I went for a ride in one super cool van to check it out.
So this is your A-team van.
That's right.
This is where you get stuff done.
This is it. We call this the mobile laboratory. Uh-huh. Essentially, this is a laboratory that allows us to go out and measure air pollution in real time.
This state-of-the-art mobile project is led by University of Colorado air researcher Matt Coggin.
We're sampling basically anything that could be in urban air, personal care products, cleaning products, paints, basically anything that comes from human sources. So this system here, as we're driving by, we can pull a sample and it fills a can. And then that can, we ship off to Boulder, Colorado, and analyze that.
For the last 3 years, Matt's teamed up with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, known as NOAA, and Caltech scientists to help identify air pollutants caused by everyday household products and even people.
What I'm surprised about, that we give off these things that affect air pollution.
If you look at the label of your products, mm-hmm. right, you can see all the different molecules in there. And those molecules are designed to evaporate. When we're applying a fragrance or applying a personal care product, we want to smell good. Mm-hmm. And if you can smell something, it means it's in the air.
So are you telling me when I'm putting on deodorant, I'm giving off compounds?
You are, yeah, exactly.
The project started in New York City and has now gone national, currently in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Today, we're collecting scientific data. Our first stop, Hollywood.
All right, let's go hunting. Right now, we're measuring the breadth of the city. We're kind of getting the whole background of what Los Angeles looks like. You see anything from these guys?
Yeah.
Hey, really? Awesome. Capturing some personal plumes.
Wow, what a spike right there.
Yeah.
We're filling a canister.
In the business, we call that slamming a can.
Slam the can, baby.
Slam the can.
I'm slamming the can.
The amount of pollutants coming from our daily activities is now as equivalent as what's coming out of our tailpipes.
What?
The success of the Clean Air Act brought that source down to a level where most cars aren't all that polluting.
Emissions captured include the main ingredients for smog, which can trigger health issues in children, the elderly, and people with lung disease, including asthma. Leanne Randolph is chair of the California Air Resources Board.
Our focus is the regulatory perspective. It's the getting the manufacturers to make them better rather than telling consumers not to use the products.
Her group uses this type of data in a continuing effort to clean up air quality in the state. The board recently putting new regulations on four categories of products: air fresheners, hair care products, personal fragrances, and bug sprays.
I'm in my grocery store, my supermarket, and I'm trying to make choices. What am I looking for on the label?
Think about natural products, so using something that is not based off of petroleum, but something that comes from, say,
a plant-based.
We decided to head to an iconic fast food place, and that's when levels went off the chart.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Cooking emissions, all right.
My God.
Wow.
Oh, you can really smell it.
Look at this, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's intense. When we pull these samples out to start analyzing them back at home, we'll be able to tell, okay, how much of this was cooking emissions, how much came from the people sitting around. This is new to us. This is new science. This is fun.
So let's put this in perspective. Researchers at NOAA say we actually use 10 times more petroleum-based product fuel in our cars than we do in household products. Yet those emissions from those products lead to more smog-forming pollution than the unburnt fuel that comes from our tailpipes, which is kind of amazing. And if you're trying to, and you might say, well, look, I'm not in a big city like New York or LA.
Right.
Well, the fact is, your indoor pollutants, the paints you use, the deodorants, the hairspray, all that collects in your home. So the one thing you can do, besides finding different kind of products, make sure you're well ventilated.
All right.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you open up the doors, does it all just go out?
It helps, you know, venting them. Because in the last decade or so, we've made sure our homes are energy efficient and more sealed up. Well, that means that stuff can't get out. So, exactly. And you can find a lot more on much more Today climate content on today.com, Today All Day, TikTok, our social media, and we have a new hashtag, hashtag Today Climate. So we're going to be really, really getting and delving into this issue.
And Today Climate's on the TikTok.
That's right. We're on the TikTok, baby. We don't do any dances, but, you know.
You should try it.
No.
Now let's stick to climate.
Yeah, that's it.
When we come back, there's a good chance you've seen his work, the artist who's become a social media sensation thanks to his pop-up portraits. And then later, look who just popped into the studio. Looky there.
Oh,
New Amsterdam star Ryan Eggold, live to talk about his new season when the third hour of Today rolls on in just 60 seconds. This morning we're celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month by shining a light on an artist who has become a social media star. NBC News anchor Savannah Sellers met up with this guy. This is a really cool story.
Yeah. It is. I was so excited. I actually did get to meet up with him because you've probably seen his work. He's doing those subway drawings. I had the chance to sit down with Devon Rodriguez. He's a part of the next generation of artists using social media to get noticed. And as the most followed artist account on TikTok, it's clearly working.
This is my favorite thing to do. I always said if I could draw portraits for the rest of my life, I'd be happy.
Growing up in the South Bronx and raised by his grandmother, Devon Rodriguez always knew he wanted to be an artist.
Tell me how a kid from the South Bronx decides, I want to do art.
So I've always been into art my whole entire life, ever since I was like 4 years old. I just loved to draw. Then when I got to middle school, I was doing graffiti, but I wanted to draw realistic.
So as a teenager, Devon turned to painting portraits.
Portraits are so intimate. How did you decide that that's what you really like to paint?
This guy named James Harrington, who was painting his student, it looked so real, and I got into his class, and he taught us about oil painting, and so we'd always be like drawing people, and he just inspired me so much that like I knew that's what I wanted to do forever.
Year after year, Devon worked hard to perfect his craft, practicing by drawing strangers in a place that was familiar to him, the New York City subway.
I would just take pictures of people, not ask them or anything, and then just do a full-on oil painting at home.
But it wasn't until last year, in the middle of the pandemic, when Devon began posting his subway sketches on social media, that people took notice.
What made you think, I'm gonna get in the TikTok game?
So, during quarantine, everybody was locked up in their homes and bored, and I was on Instagram and I was seeing these young kids that were going viral and like living like this big life. So then when I saw TikTok, I was like, okay, maybe this could be the way. I'm gonna go back to the subway and do sketches. People are wearing their masks now and let's see how that goes.
What makes you decide that you're gonna sketch someone?
So I try to get like a whole variety of people, like every background, every age group. It's kind of random.
Does anyone ever look at you like, dude, what are you doing? Why are you looking at me?
Actually all the time, but you know, then I'll start to explain to them and then they're like, oh, really? Like, okay, draw me.
Excuse me, miss? Yes, I did this drawing of you.
Devon's drawings went viral. His first post racked up nearly 5 million views. Then his next one, 17 million.
Oh my God, no way!
People would message me like, oh my God, like I watch your videos and it helps me get through my anxiety and depression and they just make me smile. I never thought it would lead to that.
With all his newfound popularity, there's one person who still keeps the 25-year-old artist grounded.
What does grandma think now?
She's like, you're doing something right, but she doesn't fully understand like social media. And like her friends from church are always like, oh, my grandson loves your grandson. She's like, of my grandson? Like, he doesn't even clean his room. Like, how does he have these fans?
Today, with 19 million followers and counting, Devon is now the most followed artist on TikTok.
You're a real artist, but then you're also a social media star.
Yeah.
How did the two kind of meet for you?
I think I got lucky. I didn't like get a lot of attention as a kid. So I just think it pushed me to like, okay, how am I gonna get out there and try everything at my disposal, and finally something worked really well.
Before we said goodbye, I just had to ask Devon.
Can you sketch me?
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. Excuse me, miss, I drew you.
Oh my gosh! You are so talented. That's amazing.
Oh wow. That's incredible.
It is, right? I know. Wow. And obviously his future is bright, as you can see there. But get this, he recently sold one of his paintings at a prestigious auction alongside works from other artists like Andy Warhol for more than $22,000.
Jeez.
And if you didn't get a good look, here's that sketch. How cool is this?
You gotta get that frame. Cool.
I know. I definitely will. But it didn't take him much time at all, which is pretty neat. Mm. And you can actually see the whole process of him making it on his TikTok. He gave me the treatment, like one of the subway paintings, and then also on the Today Show TikTok page as well. It's up right now.
What are you going to do with your portrait? You're going to put that in your office?
Yeah, no, well, probably not my office.
And give it to like your mom or something.
Yeah.
It's a little weird if you have your own framed picture of yourself.
Well, sometimes you forget what you look like. You don't need a mirror now. That's true.
Yeah, Savannah, frame and give it to my fiance and make him love it.
That's fantastic.
I love it. All right, coming up next, the doctor is in. Literally, he's in the studio. Ryan Eggold is here to tell us about the return of New Amsterdam and why this year it's all about spreading joy. And then later, I'm cooking with Cal and serving up a crispy, delicious snack. We'll be right back. We are so excited because we are catching up with one of our favorites here in studio. Ryan Eggold kept us on our toes as Tom Keen on NBC's The Blacklist, where we were never quite sure which side he was on.
Well, we do now. We know. Ryan is back as Dr. Max Goodwin in the hit show New Amsterdam. This season, some of his employees are readjusting, like a lot of us, to life in the office after working from home during the pandemic. Ryan, good morning. Good to see you,
morning.
My friend.
Morning. Good
and
to see you.
And more importantly, in person.
Yes, it's so wonderful to be back. I've missed you guys.
We have been saying on Zoom, we wish you were here, we wish you were here. Are you actually glad to be here?
Yes, okay. I am. And we can't have quite as many technical snafus as we had
first
time.
We've had some good times.
Pretty epic.
You know, what's great about your show is that it's of the moment and about the moment. And,
yeah.
You know, especially taking a look at medicine. And we've just come out of this pandemic where medical issues were front and center. But there is a lighter side. And you guys walk this great line of dealing with drama, but also dealing with the lighter side of things.
Absolutely. That's what this season is about. You know, it's about more joy, as David puts it. And, you know, we all just went through this pandemic, not that it's over, but that it just last year was such a heavy, difficult year that I think this year, this season at least, is about rediscovering those things that we love, that we care about, that make us laugh, that make us smile, finding that joy again, that, you know, we've been missing and makes everything worth.
So speaking of that, how were you able to find joy in the last 2 years?
Oh, my gosh. That's, you know, there were a lot of nice things to sort of come out of that difficult situation, like spending a ton of time with my family. Mm-hmm. I hadn't done that in a long time. And just sit still and, like, read a book and not have to be anywhere. Like, those were kind of pleasant revelations I'm trying to take with me as life starts to gather steam again, right. You know?
You know, when there's a couple, if there's some electricity, you know, everybody loves that. You know, Sam and Diane, all those classics. You know, Max and Helen are finally getting together. How do you make sure that, you know, that now that you're getting together, that we're not like, well, okay, it wasn't what we were.
Yeah, exactly. I have no clue. I cross my fingers and I hope for the best. No, you know, the thing is, working with Freema, she's such an amazing actress and an amazing person, and there's just a lot of fun moments to find with her and in between things. And I think now that they are getting together, there's a whole set of new challenges of, like, you know, when you give someone everything they want, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And what's the other side of that look like, you know? And now they have to manage the hospital and having a professional relationship in the workplace and home life. Max has a daughter and, you know, she's never been a mother, so there's this co-parenting thing. And there's all these great challenges that they have to face now that they've, you know, gone there, so to speak.
As it were.
We just saw that steamy scene. I just saw a commercial for New Amsterdam, and it showed, you know, some of the steamy scene. Do you get awkward?
So
seeing
awkward.
Seeing yourself in that position?
Yes, and doing it. Yeah. Like, you know, you're standing on the set, and you're, like, shirtless and half naked, and there's a bunch of crew guys around, and you're like, hey, guys, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry about this. Everybody's just waiting. Does this guy still have his shirt off? Can we go home? You know, so it's tricky, but it's fun. Michael Slovis directed the episode. He's amazing. He made us feel really comfortable. And like I said, Freema's the best. So we just stayed connected and did our thing.
You just finished doing a movie in Atlanta, a Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you're Madea's long-lost son.
Yes, I am. And Tyler's passing me the torch. I'm the new Madea. It's a bit of a change.
Yes,
but I'm
a challenge.
Yeah.
But you said you were filming right next to Black Panther 2.
Yes, yeah.
What was that like? And were you able to wrangle a role?
I was, yeah. Well, you know, it's amazing what Tyler has built down there. He's built this whole studio, and he's got this incredible roster of films and TV shows. And they did have Black Panther shooting there. I did poke my head in, and just if anybody needs, like, a thug to just get punched,
right?
Like, I'm here. I'm available.
Yourself.
So we'll see. I'm still waiting on the call, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, it is so good to see
and
you.
And happy belated birthday, by
thank
the way.
Thank you. Thank you. And congratulations to you.
Thank you.
It's fantastic.
Maybe you could write her birth into the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Come by anytime.
Yes. That would be an awkward scene.
Hey, we've done a lot of deliveries. Uh-huh. I'm ready for this.
You could have your shirt off, deliver. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a different kind of show. That's season five.
Completely
that's
different.
Season five
completely
territory.
Different. Okay, season four of New Amsterdam premiering tonight, 10/9 Central, right here on NBC.
All right, coming up next, I am cooking with Cal, and we are going to show you how to turn all that extra zucchini you have laying around the house into an addictive snack.
Who's got extra zucchini?
Well, when you have a garden.
Oh, never mind.
Zucchini just
gotcha.
Crazy.
Okay.
Get the big ones.
Fridge.
We'll be right back. Okay, it is time for another edition of Cooking with Cal, and this time we made a crispy treat using zucchini. Take a look. It's another edition of Cooking with Cal. What are we making today?
Zucchini fritters.
Zucchini fritters. So we need to grate all the zucchini and the onion. So a box grater obviously would work, but if you have a food processor, it makes even easier. It's like a magic shredder.
Oh, I want to shred it.
We need to cut the zucchini and the onion to make sure it fits in this little circle.
Let me fit.
Nope. We're going to have to cut it, aren't we? While we've got the knife out, let's cut up our onion. You know what? Somebody told me a trick, okay? They said if you use a wet paper towel and keep it right here, it won't sting your eye. And let's see if this stops your eyes from tearing, okay?
It kind of works, but it kind of works. Yeah, it doesn't sting really.
Yeah, you're not crying. Did we find the solution? High five! Good experiment. So we're gonna take all this.
Put it in a bowl.
I'm gonna put it in this thing. Got our onion and our shredded zucchini. You feel how wet it is?
Yes.
So we have to get all of the water out of this zucchini. So what we're gonna do is put this over a bowl and press, press, press all the water, right?
And see how much water makes.
We're gonna let this sit here for an hour. You wanna sit and wait for an hour?
Mm-hmm.
No, so guess what? I did one earlier this morning. Look at all the water in here. Can you scoop all that into this bowl, please?
It's so hard out of the water. Zucchini's so soft. I was wondering.
2 tablespoons of flour.
Number one. And number one.
2 number ones makes?
Two.
Can you see, read what that says?
Oppie.
Oregano. Now we need 1/2 cup of cheese.
I want to eat cheese.
Yeah. Ready to do the eggs?
Yes.
Scramble, please.
Like goo?
Good flip. Yeah! Nice!
Yeah.
Right in the middle. Mmm. How'd they turn out? Super yummy, right? For these recipes and more, head
Boom.
To today.
For these,
today.com. Today.com slash. Today.com/.
He likes food.
He likes food. It's funny. He does not like zucchini, but he likes these.
There you go.
Yeah. I am super excited because I probably shouldn't have said this with my mouth full.
You've got a new show on Today All Day.
On Today All Day, yes. It's called Dylan Dishes. And each episode, I'm going to share some of my favorite food hacks, how I get Calvin cooking in the kitchen, how I get him to eat certain things. We're kind of going behind the scenes on these cooking with cows and how we make it all work. So check it out. Dylan Dishes Cooking with Cal premieres today at 11 a.m. Eastern on Today All Day.
Very cool.
Are you going to try it? Or you just
They're cold and you made them on Sunday. So, yeah, today's show, 3rd hour, right back. Tomorrow on the 3rd hour, Downton Abbey star Dan Stevens live with his new movie.
Coming up on Hoda and Jenna, a checkup checklist, the test every woman should be getting at her annual physical.
And don't forget to download the Today podcast to listen to all 4 hours whenever you want, whether you like it or not. We'll
You're
see
go
you
home
tomorrow.
And listen right
I'm
now.
Doing it right now. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye.